get on the train. Pimpin' ain't easy.
Hello and welcome to Pudding Ain't Easy, Ahsoka. And I'm your host, Carl Pierce, and with me, as always, is the snips to my Ahsoka. It's Scott McLeod. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Carl. Yes, this is the one we've been waiting for now, isn't it?
Really is. And joining us, as sometimes always, is the Anakin to our Ahsoka and snips. It's Reese Saunders. Hello, Reese.
Oh, that's high praise. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, Carl. Hello, Scott. How are you doing?
We're well.
All right. I mean, I got the best news of the day so far. I mean, forget your Star Wars and your Clone Wars callbacks. The trailer for fucking the Frasier reboot is finally out today.
I'm leaving. Goodbye.
Yeah. I'm not going to watch this because I just know it's going to ruin the original phrase. I mean, no other cast member from the old episodes returning, and it's got fucking Rodney in it, for God's sake.
I'm going to be. So there's no. Is David Hyde Pierce not in it?
Nope.
Apparently.
Is Kelsey Grammer in it?
Well, Kelsey Grammer's obviously, I mean, he is Frasier, but also the dad died in real life, so he's not in it. Mainly, Niles and Daphne aren't in it, but supposedly Lilith and Roz are going to appear once or twice in the series, but seemingly no other cast members are going to be in it. I say that jokingly because I thought I need to mention Frasier at least once here because it's the brand. Mind you, I did watch the trailer, and if anything, it's actually made me more nervous about this reboot because they seem to be leaning in on the laughing track more than they did in the
original.
Seemingly turning into some sort of fucking, seeming a lot more generic than the original series, let's just say that.
It's going to be woke, isn't it?
These reboots just never work, though, do they?
No.
But then there's going to be a hilarious moment where Kelsey Grammer and Nicholas Lyndhurst's character are standing at the bar, someone opens the bar and Kelsey Grammer falls through it. And then he tries to help out Freddie. Then he tries to help Freddy out by removing a chandelier and it all goes wrong again.
And there needs to be a character that keeps calling him by the wrong name.
I mean, I've never watched the original Frasier. I have no interest watching new Frasier. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm under no illusions. It's probably going to be shit, but I'm still going to watch. I'm going to hate watch most of the series, undoubtedly. It's been a while since I hate watched anything.
Oh no, I did that with Rings of Power. I hated that show.
Didn't we do that with Andor, to be honest?
I gave up 4 episodes in with Andor.
I mean, I just waited for the rest of the series to, well, halfway through I made a decision to wait for the rest of the series to air and then just binge watch it because it wasn't a week to week show for me. But yeah, like, yeah, it's been a while since I properly hate watched something. I didn't watch Rings of Power because I didn't give enough of a shit about the original Lord of the Rings to bother with this.
Why do I talk to you?
Lord of the Rings was just never my thing.
Oh, Reese, we're gonna have to have a meeting, Reese.
Why?
Convene the council.
Yeah, no, but why do we align ourselves with just uncivilized swine? I don't know.
I don't know, Reece. So I haven't got the answer.
He's Scottish to begin with. That's a red flag.
If I wanted to watch a bunch of lads just walking, I'd go for 3 hours. I'd go on a walk myself.
That's a lie. You'll walk 5 seconds and get bored and want to go home. And also, they're not lads, okay? They're hobbits. Thank you.
Yeah, how dare you?
Fucking lads.
Yeah, I mean, Rings of Power. I mean, Lenny fucking Henry, for God's sake. Sorry, Reese, I know he's a Birmingham legend and everything, but
is it?
Still.
Of all the things I've heard Lenny Henry described as, Birmingham legend has never been one of them.
No, he's a fucking sir. He's a sir for shagging Dawn French.
No, well, yeah, he probably does deserve it for that, but he's for his charity work, to be fair.
I haven't heard a bit Lenny Henry for a long time. I thought he'd given up acting and was too busy being franchisee of Premier Inn. Or have I taken that advert too literally?
No, literally, yeah. I mean, you know, I know it's from Birmingham, Scott. You think we all live in hotels, but no, some of us do our own houses. And
don't lie to me, Reese. Don't fill my head full of lies.
I mean, you're Scottish, you live in a cave. Shut up.
It gets great Wi-Fi, to be fair.
You can't go outside that painting your face blue and white, shouting freedom. Okay.
I see we're going full on the stereotypes today.
I mean, his council is bankrupt, so he's probably a bit, you know, sensitive about the situation, Reece. Scott, even.
I don't care. Also, talk about Lenny Henry, though. I was reminded yesterday of the greatest podcast we've ever done, which is the Rogue Vision Quiz. Absolutely brilliant podcast. Famous for Liam's Scott's mom joke. But the best one, I think the one that made me laugh the most listening to it back yesterday, was the fact that Liam said that Lenny Henry played Slideshow Bob's brother.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
Lenny Henry played Cecil.
This is the kind of things that sets Rogue Opinions apart from other podcasts, you know. Any other way else talking about Ahsoka, they'd get right into the nitty-gritty of all the Clone Wars references. No, we need to spend 5 minutes talking about Lenny fucking Henry.
Exactly.
How the fuck do you transition from that to the actual episode?
I could have segued pretty quickly. Speaking of racism, an orange person starts a show.
Fucking hell.
Anyway, let's just Carl, stop me.
Well, I see a green woman starts the show on this episode.
No, green woman's arse. Let's be honest, mate.
You're obsessed. Right, even time stamps it now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Like, you know what? Time for arse watch with Reece Saunders. No. I have to get all the opening credits and opening scenes here. 4 minutes and 20 seconds in, you see her ass. There's no other setting. There's no rocks you can look at. There's no sky. There's no ship. No sea. No, it's her ass in tight orange trousers.
He's going to get worse with this. You know, he's about to be a dad, you know. The frequency of when he gets his hole is going to become more and more infrequent. So he's going to get more and more cretinous like this as time goes on.
Join Reece Saunders and Ewan McGregor on Hera's Arse Watch.
Oh, that'll be a fantastic podcast, that would.
I don't think Ewan would think so.
I
think he'd like to do that a lot because he gets to live with it. I get to see it from a screen. Like, he gets to jiggle it. I'm sorry.
He gets to pound it. That's not beating around the bush.
To it.
Jesus. We are getting fucking cancelled there over this, I can tell.
You know, just when I turn up, I don't think Liam's a problem, I think it's me.
who would have thought, that Carl, that you and I naming a show partly after the catchphrase of a wrestling pimp and having Reesong would become the most problematic thing about this show?
Okay, I don't think we're well known enough to get cancelled, so you know, I'm sure our 5 listeners won't mind too much.
How we'll know we've made it is as soon as we get big enough, we'll immediately get cancelled because people will finally go into the back catalogue and listen to some of the horrendous shit we've said.
Oh, don't listen to the stuff, please don't.
I had to put a statement saying we haven't associated with Rahul for a long time. Please don't take his comments as a reflection on the views of us here at Rogue Opinions.
Ahsoka. Let's talk about Ahsoka now.
Oh, yeah, please can we? Jesus Christ.
Yes. No, he wasn't in this episode.
Fuck off.
Scott McClure! I got the language!
I've swore more in podcasts. You stop it.
He's suddenly a year older and he thinks he can swear now, Reese.
Yeah, respect your elder, Scott, thank you.
No. Anyway, moving on.
Fucking
was more to this episode than just an ass.
You little fucker. Fuck you.
But yeah, getting back on track, this is part 5, Shadow Warrior, as is titled. And the episode sort of starts with a panning shot of the forest leading into the little area where they set up the map, and Ahsoka and Baylan had their little duel, and we see Hera has landed her ship there, and she's looking for any signs of Ahsoka and Sabine, which there are none.
It's not the opening I wanted, because I mean, I think I speak for us three when the opening we wanted, which was immediately, was Anakin and Ahsoka.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping we'd just start off with that, to be perfectly honest, but I can see what they were doing.
I got excited when I seen the runtime was like 50 odd minutes, and there was a large part of me hoping that most of, if not the entire episode, would be just them in the world between worlds. But you know, I think we got just a bit enough, you know, to still be a bit satisfied. But you know, we always want more, don't we?
We always do. Yeah, we're never happy or satisfied as sci-fi fans for some reason or another.
I mean, you summed it up when you posted that Anakin gif in the chat. You know, I want more, and I know I shouldn't.
That was in reference to something else, which I'm not going to speak about anymore.
Yeah, well, I was trying to use it for a more wholesome reason. More wholesome, like, you know, the character who famously murdered a bunch of children. Anyway, moving on.
but getting back on track. So Hera finds Hu Yang holding Sabine's helmet, and he's bemoaning that, "I told them to stay together. I told them, but they never listen." I mean, he's right. They never do seem to listen to him. Poor Hu Yang.
I know, bad for him.
Sorry, Scott.
You feel bad for him, don't you? I mean, his little robot eyes, just, you know, if he was able for a robot to cry, he would have been crying, though. He is trying to say, "I told you so," but he's also clearly too sad to do it.
Yeah, that's what you just see, and you are right, thinking, yeah, they should have stuck together. You told them multiple times to stay together, and it's cost them. At that point, he thinks they're both dead as well, which is another thing he has to process, is the people that he spent majority of his time with in recent years, and the god, he's got to come to terms with that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we know they're not dead, but you know, he doesn't.
No, it's certainly not looking too promising from their perspective, anyway. But then we get the big black screen, the big Ahsoka letters, and then we're into it. We're into Anakin and Ahsoka and the what looks to be the world between worlds, which it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah.
And he tells her he's there to complete her training.
Which is also, go back to the fact that she said a couple of episodes ago that Anakin never got to complete her training. And I agree with you in terms of the way the world between worlds looked, because I don't even think if you'd done this even a few years ago, it would have looked as good as this. I think it's a testament to the new kind of tech that they've been using throughout, like, Mandalorian and these Star Wars, like, TV shows, more so than the recent films. I like how they have that beautiful blend of, like, most of the stuff they can actually do practically, but when they need to use, like, effects and CGI, they might have to, like, thread that line where it doesn't look, you know. They're using Ant-Man Quantumania as a recent example, the overlines in CGI and how bad that looked compared to how great this stuff looks.
Yeah, they've really gone all out on this, and so far nothing's looked too fake or dodgy. The CGI has been pretty much spot on so far, I would say.
And that's saying something considering. Sorry, Reese.
Yes, and no, I can't disagree. I think it's it was beautifully shot. And I said the CGI just looks, it looks incredible. It doesn't look like it's copied and pasted together. It doesn't look like, oh, let's cut something over here and cut something there. It just looks seamless. It was beautiful.
Yeah, even the de-aging of Hayden Christensen, I think ASL looks better here than it did in Kenobi.
I think it helps. I think it helps as well. I don't think they did. No.
No, they didn't de-age him in Kenobi.
Well, I thought they did. Well, I heard they did. So.
No, he just look. He looks about 5-10 years older than he did when he did the thing about it. It's been 20 years. He hasn't aged that much. So they did the age him in Kenobi. I think they did it. I think they just removed his scar from the start. That's why he looks like he de-aged. But that's all they've done. I don't think they actually de-aged him that much.
Yeah, they didn't do too much from what I heard.
I do appreciate also like in Kenobi they try and make him look more Padawan like he was in Episode 2, whereas here I think we mentioned it last week, this is full on Revenge of the Sith looking Anakin.
It's a weird one because this one was Episode 3 Anakin, but no, in Kenobi he's not the age at all. It's Hayden Christensen as he is, because he looks near enough the same.
Yeah, you need to go back and rewatch it. He's definitely not de-aged.
Well, he's 40. How old is he? 40.
He's somewhere around my age. He's a year younger than me or something like that.
Yeah,
because when he was casting the prequels, he had to be in his 20s because also they wanted Anakin to be about 10 years or so older than however old Jake Lloyd was in the first one, because it might be 10 years later in Attack of the Clones.
Yeah. We get sidetracked by de-aging and shit. Let's get back to it.
But yeah, so Anakin lights up his lightsaber and so he says, I'm not going to fight you. And he says, where have I heard that before? And then they do start having a bit of a lightsaber duel, which Ahsoka does actually win, to be fair. And while that's going on, we go back to the sort of real world, so to speak, with Hera and everyone trying to wonder where they are, or maybe almost given up. And then Jason stops them and says, wait, can you hear that in the water? And they're like, hear what? He says, lightsabers. It's obviously something with his full sensitivity can sort of pick up what's sort of going on in the Neverworld or whatever, however it's all happening between Anakin and Ahsoka, which is quite cool, and it shows he's very full sensitive as well.
That's a question. Sorry to interrupt there. I'll ask you something. You thought Ahsoka won that lightsaber duel?
She held her own. Well,
I thought Anakin would, pretty convincingly.
No, I think Ahsoka wins because she said, it looks like you don't have much to teach me. And then he caught by surprise by slashing the sort of ground underneath her and sent her crashing down. So I suppose... Yeah, he's so sexist, he doesn't even want a woman to win a lightsaber duel.
No, she came crashing down. Hurt inside.
So I was having a drink and I needed that spitting out thing with laughter when she started the Hulk Hogan drink.
To be fair,
just managed to hold it in.
To be fair, if he didn't make the joke, I was going to, because I could see where it was going.
Soon as you said she came crashing down, and they're going, yes, yes.
I mean, he's never been the greatest actor, but God, a cameo of fucking Hulk Hogan and something Star Wars related, I'd watch that. I mean, they got fucking Jack Black and Mandalorian. Anything's possible in these shows.
I thought he was about to start dissing Hayden Christian for a second. I was going to say, well, I think he's doing quite well in this. I was about to jump to his defense.
I mean, at least
I see where you were going, Dad Scott, so don't worry.
At least when Hulk Hogan kept young talent down, it was just by politics, and he didn't have to murder younglings like Anakin Skywalker.
Hulk Hogan played Jar Jar Binks' brother. Imagine that. Ric Flair could play like a leathery alien as well. That would be, I want to watch that now.
But coming soon to Ruger Paint, reimagining Star Wars is all the characters are played by wrestlers. Tell me you wouldn't want to watch that.
That's a podcast idea.
It is, yes. Macho Man plays Watto from episode one. I don't know why I chose that example. Anyway, I go back to a point I was going to make. Talk about Jason. Yeah, like, I think we may have referenced that he might be Force Sensitive in the last episode, but I was didn't expect him to go this quickly into it and really, like, quite strong from a young age if he's able to sense it. But I think it's giving you more detail about the world between worlds, and it's probably connected to the Force narrative. Yeah. Every Jedi is able to. And I love that this does lead to a name drop of Kanan Jarrus in the show, because he's the one element of Rebels we haven't really touched on that much yet. But I do love that Carson Teva kind of goes, okay. Yeah, shrugs off like yeah. the average viewer who hasn't watched all of Rebels, who's watching this, going, oh, cool. Okay.
I like the mention of Leia as well, because General Organa.
Yeah, Senator Organa, yeah.
Yeah, Senator Organa will try to hold it off as much as possible. I like that little tie-in. But also, you talk about being Force sensitive. How did Hera hear it, then is she Force sensitive?
I don't think so. I don't know how. She was probably just
doing that mum thing by just nodding and going along with it. We can hear it.
No, I'm asking this because it does. It pans on Jason, obviously Jason can hear it, but then it pans on Hera, and Hera can hear it as well. Even she says, I can hear it. So, I told, like I said last week, not a big fan of Rebels, haven't really watched it. Did she show Force sensitivity? Or, just to be crude for a little bit, if you and a Jedi do business, do you get the Jedi powers that way?
I don't think it's sexually transmitted. The Midichlorians are not sexually transmitted. I know they say it flows through all things. Imagine, there must be a limit.
Imagine getting that as an STD. Like, you're a Jedi.
Just relentlessly scratching, like, for the hell, this Midichlorians, it's caused me a breakout and a rash.
But yeah, no, it is a great thing, the fact that they're both hearing it and trying, there's also cast is quite funny, go and find it and all that. I will say that bad parenting by Hera when she leaves Jace on her own with a droid.
Chopper can look after him.
I know. Chopper's killed thousands.
Humanity. He's a genocidal maniac.
He's genocidal, but he cares about Jason, so literally anyone who tries to cross him, Chopper will easily murder, which is why Hera trusted him of all people.
I mean, it does seem a bit of an odd choice, considering it was recently populated by Dark Jedi and battle robots or whatever, whatever they had there. But hey ho.
Going back to, like we said, the lightsaber fight, I mean, regardless of who you think was winning, I want to get your opinions on this particular race, because you said you had strong opinions about Disney, how the lightsaber fights have looked under Disney, but I did get a more prequel-esque feel for this duel between Anakin and Ahsoka, especially, obviously, people have been clipping the way that Anakin swung the lightsaber around, similar to how he did in episode 3.
It is Anakin Skywalker. He could do no wrong. It was majestic. It was beautiful. It was what a lightsaber fight should be. It was intense. I liked the Baylon one with Ahsoka because it was intense, and I liked this one because there was no holding back. They were both going for each other, and it was like watching old Star Wars in that regard with the lightsabers. And also, as I said, Anakin Skywalker could do no wrong.
I mean, ask all the Jedi that died in Order 66. I think they'll disagree with you.
Look, just because some of them died doesn't mean he's a bad guy. God.
I don't want to harp on the younglings thing here, but I will.
Were you a youngling? Or did you have a youngling training or something, Scott? You do seem very upset about this fictional murder of young Jedi.
I'm just saying it happens. We should not forget.
Scott, it's not real.
Hmm.
Yeah,
don't neither's Rocky. Don't hurt his feelings.
Yes, Rocky's not real either, but if you get punched in the face, it still hurts.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah, anyway, it's a hell of a job, but yeah, I do like the way that he cuts the, like you said, the bridge from underneath there. The way the platforms were styled, it also reminded me, there's a lot of things this episode and the jewels reminded me of from past hours, but more the way the platforms were looking at it, it actually reminded me a lot of the platforms they fought on during the end battle in Phantom Menace.
Yes.
During the like Maul, Maul Kenobi and Qui-Gon fight.
But I think so obviously when she falls down, we finally get to see live action Clone Wars Ahsoka.
Yeah,
which it's awesome. I didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't.
See that coming. I thought it was going to happen. And it was going to be some sort of flashback, but seemingly it's some sort of memory that she's walking through because she's got her young appearance, but she remembers everything that the stuff like it's already happened. And apparently, I found out online that the actress who played her also played young Gamora during Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah,
I found that one out as well. And she pretty much nails this performance for me. And she's there complete with a green lightsaber, which she had at the beginning as well, which is really cool.
Anakin's
haircut and his attire is very similar to the Clone Wars as well, which is also, it's a different look than Hayden Christensen had when he was playing it. So he's kind of done this look for animation. And the guy who made Clone Wars is directing it, so we can't really be surprised by the level of detail in this.
All right. Well, just a question. Why didn't Christensen do the Clone Wars? I don't understand why they didn't get him in to do it.
Maybe he didn't want to for reasons.
I think he was
He did get quite a lot of abuse for, Yeah, not all of it was his fault because the dialogue was quite clunky and, rubbish, typical George Lucas. But, it might be that put him off because he did retire from acting. So by the time they did the Clone Wars, that might have been during his retirement. I don't know. But, yeah, for whatever reason, he didn't reprise the role.
Yeah, I think they kind of wanted to move it away from the Clone Wars, maybe give different actors, or maybe in case it was just cheaper to hire new voice actors. I think there were some people who reprised their roles for the Clone Wars film, but then those roles were replaced by the time the TV show came around. But yeah, maybe I agree with her. Maybe just wanted to get away from that character for a while because, people very much, I think they blamed him a lot for the prequels being the way that they were.
Yeah, no, I get that. It was just love to see him in the Clone Wars entire, but then when he comes to the fight, I love the fact he was fighting on sand as well. I thought that was the thing. Not apparently Anakin doesn't like sand, but he was fighting on sand. I started laughing to myself when I saw that. But it was just... I know obviously we're going to talk about the whole thing because it was just one battle in the Clone Wars at this first bit, but the silhouette of him walking with a lightsaber.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Walking to the right, and you just see the flash of Vader back to Anakin. Fucking hell. Brilliant cinema. Brilliant cinematography that was. He was just epic.
Yeah.
And Ahsoka remembering, obviously, who he becomes and all that. It was just, it was mesmerizing.
And the other thing that also ties into what we talked about before, her guilt of what he became, like she's fought him as Vader in the past, as we saw in Rebels. And again, she can't look at him without thinking about what he became, because again, she has that guilt of thinking that she could have prevented him from becoming Vader if she'd been with him at that moment.
I think it's more than that, and we get it in the second flashback. I think she's kind of worried that she might become like he did as well. She might sort of go dark if she pushes things too far.
Because
she sort of says, about my legacy from my master, and my master, my master's master. She said, but if I'm part of that legacy and all of you, your training, all of you is in me, doesn't that mean I'll she doesn't quite finish the sentence, but you know where she's going with it.
Yeah.
When
Anakin was, so you look at it, when Qui-Gon Jinn was trained, it obviously, but it was a time of peace, the Guardians of Peace. Qui-Gon trained Obi-Wan in that way, but then Obi-Wan trained Anakin in the way of war because war came, and that's how that's all Anakin knew was how to train Ahsoka in the art of war, because that's how he was. And what this was Anakin basically telling Ahsoka, don't be like me. And that's what I took from this when I was seeing all these flashbacks, is do not treat Sabine how I'm treating you, sort of thing. I don't know if you two got that.
Yeah, a little bit. I got it more like, you don't have to become me. You know, I went on the wrong path and went dark, but that doesn't mean it'll happen to you. You've got to trust in your leadership abilities and don't hold back. And I think that's why we're all questioning why she was battling Balon with only one lightsaber. And I think that's probably why she lost the fight, because you could see against Anakin, she could quite clearly good enough to beat Balon, but she's holding back because she's scared of going to the dark side.
I agree more with where we used to say things, because like you said, I like the kind of reference to Keywords of the Peace, because it's a callback to Mace Windu's line at the start of episode 2 when the Clone Wars officially kicks off, when the events of that movie. And like you said, basically he has to train her for the period they're in, because Anakin is one of the big frontline like soldiers leading the clones, and he'll say she's long since he has to train her for the time period that they were in, and she's worried that's all she is. And then they even say, like, is that all I'll teach my Padawan? And Anakin asks her, do you even want to have a Padawan? Which I think, again, maybe she was a bit reluctant to even take Sabine on, which is part of the reason why, as we've seen, their relationship is clearly very strange. Based on events that we saw off screen, so I think there's some of that as well. I do love that we also get a vocal cameo from Tamir Morrison as Captain Rex at one point. We don't get to see his face, sadly, maybe because they couldn't de-age him, because he looks good for his age. Cause I think he's like in his 60s now, is Tamir Morrison,
like that, isn't he?
Yeah,
I mean, he looks better than 60 than I do now.
That's because you're Scottish.
Yeah, because we know fucking people of Birmingham, buddy, peak example of physical fitness, aren't they?
Oh yeah, man! I'm not taking this racism from you anymore. I'm just
you started it.
I'm ending it, Scott.
Oh, you're sounding like a dad already.
But no, I said that. I think it was. Just as I said, when it's on the second flashback, we see her with the blue lightsaber, and she's fully immersed now into what she was at the end of Clone Wars, when she was a competent soldier on the front line, not afraid, not holding back. And she just takes a second to look around what she's doing, because obviously Anakin's there again.
Yeah, but you can see she looks a lot more confident in this second sort of flashback. She defeats that Mandalorian with the sort of Darth Maul helmet, and she's sort of there with her arms folded, looking all sort of, yeah, I'm that bitch.
You know, Anakin asked, wasn't he, what was this? It was the Battle of Siege of Mandalore, and he was talking it through, because obviously he wasn't there. And you just see that she's, would you say she's afraid of him, at this point still?
I don't think
at one point during this thing, and also during the Clone Wars, she was actually comfortable with Anakin. There was never obviously they were close to each other and there was that mutual care and respect, but in this, it just showed that she was afraid of him the entire time.
She might be a bit afraid now, because she's got the retro, you know, the hindsight of what he's going to be.
That's what I meant by that's what I meant by the fact you're looking. She's like, she's not fully open with him.
We should mention also that obviously there was another Clone Wars callback in that previous scene, when she, I'm talking about war and everything, like she blames herself for clone troopers getting killed, which is a reference because there was a plot line of this early, I think it was a season 1 episode even, where Ahsoka leads a mission, and her actions get a lot of people killed. And again, it's like she's got all these regrets, even going as far back as that. And Anakin's talking about kind of letting go of these kind of things, which is, yeah, like you said, a lack of conviction and, holding on to these things will cause you to make mistakes. And then, again, love the attention to detail here, because, again, she's got the blue lightsabers when you get to the next flashback. The clone troopers are a different design. And I love the design of the helmets for these Mandalorians with the Maul helmet. It did give me a bit of... I don't know about you guys. I was giddy when we went into the first flashback when we seen that we were in the Clone Wars. And I got myself a bit too excited when we saw the Siege of Mandalore, because I thought we were going to get some sort of Maul cameo here, but of course that was too much to ask for.
I was secretly hoping we might get some of that, but not quite, unfortunately.
I was going to say, did little Scott get excited?
Oh Jesus. And to peel my trousers off with a toffee hammer.
Should we say something and he get ground at, and then he comes out with something even worse?
No, but the thing is, I think it was too much to ask for Maul and Anakin at that point. It's like, I mean, not being horrible, I'd rather have Anakin than Darth Maul.
Yeah, I get it. But I think it's just the fact that one of the credited somewhere in additional voices is Sam Witwer, who did the voice of Maul, so even a vocal cameo of some sort, and somebody else just doing stunts just for like 30 seconds. Because obviously a big part of that siege was her eventually confronting Maul and everything. Again, it's good because like, she wanted to talk about to the council about what she'd heard from Maul when he basically tells her, oh yeah, Palpatine's plan all along was to turn your master to the dark side. So all that was basically going on, that battle, while Anakin was taking his final steps towards becoming Vader.
Yeah, because they never fought, did they, Anakin and Maul? They never had a duel, did they?
No.
It was always, I think Maul's focus was always Kenobi, and whenever Kenobi fought, Kenobi fought Maul, he was always without Anakin, and then Ahsoka got to fight him in the last, like one of the last episodes of season 7, but never Anakin versus Maul.
He was really touchy about getting cut in half, wasn't he?
the closest interaction they ever had, I think, was that scene where he jumps off the speeder when Qui-Gon and Anakin are running towards the ship in Phantom Menace.
So that's the only interaction Maul and Anakin had. Wow.
Seemingly, yeah.
I think there's a comic or there's a thing where Maul and Vader fight and Vader kicks his ass.
Yeah, there's definitely someone team him as Vader, but never as Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah. I'd be great to see that one. But then we get to the... Can they talk about the scene that made me go like little Scott did? we finally see Anakin with a red lightsaber.
Yeah, that was awesome, wasn't it? It's all sort of, the look on his face, the whole demeanor changes as he lights up the red lightsaber, which I thought was really great acting on his part. You know, he went from being this lighthearted teacher to snips, and then next thing you know, he's got a red lightsaber and he's looking all moody and angry.
It was kind of point to say that I was like a full tent at this point. And it was the call back to Rebels when he says, "And you will die." And I'm there going, he's dead.
Again, like seeing Hayden Christensen with a red lightsaber, because obviously it felt weird. He was officially called Darth Vader by the halfway point of Revenge of the Sith, but the rest of the time he still wielded the blue Jedi lightsaber. Yeah, you see him with this red saber. The look in his eyes went yellowy, kind of like how they did towards the end of Revenge of the Sith, which was, I guess, a symbol that this is dark side Anakin. And then the more aggressive saber. We saw a little bit of it in the initial duel, but the way he's a lot more aggressive, the way he swings the saber at her. And of course, the quick flashes of him walking, part of Anakin, part of Vader, and even in the voice, they mix in some of his voice, which does, like you said, the scene is similar to the scene where they took the voice actor from Clone Wars and Vader's voice and mixed in during that scene of the fighting rebels where his visor's cracked.
Yeah.
The attention to detail is all.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it?
See, it was just the fact he, because I know there were scenes or there was something made where he did have a red lightsaber in Revenge of the Sith. They didn't put it in for some reason, which is stupid.
I think they would have to explain where he got the laser from. The idea of like, oh, he's like, you're now my apprentice. Here, I have a spare red saber. You should have this now.
think what they could have done. And I'm sorry, yeah, Mace Windu's lightsaber was there. He could have just broke. He could have did that crystal, or could just give him another one. Don't get to schematics on me, Scott. Thank you. And or he could have bled his own kyber crystal. But no, it was just epic to see. And then it ends when Ahsoka. She beats him in this one. I will concede she wins.
Are you all right, Reese?
No, it made me sad. But the thing is, it's not a beating him. It's the fact is that it's him. The final lesson is don't be me.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was able to take his weapon from him as well, which is feeling similar to when she had that fight with that Inquisitor in Tales of a Jedi, where she managed to take his own weapon from him. Well, she killed him, and she didn't kill Anakin. But I think she showed, like as briefly you said, that she was holding back a little bit in that Balin fight, and she's showing that, I think this maybe tells you the next time she won't hold back, and maybe they'll use both lightsabers this time, and she can easily beat Balin on that occasion. Because that's kind of similar to Anakin and Dooku, because Anakin, even with two lightsabers in episode 2, got his arse kicked by Dooku, but then you see him, he was a lot more capable in Revenge of the Sith, and so much so he fucking cut his arms off, didn't he?
Maturity. She's got now. She's got that maturity, and it feels like now she's letting go of that. It's not all this. None of this is my fault. It's not her fault. And I think that was like thing. Like I did wanted to say to her though. Like you know how we did with Obi-Wan when he told Obi-Wan it's not his fault. In the same like in the not in that those words, but I wish he said something to Ahsoka as well as Anakin.
It's amazing the journey of Ahsoka and Obi-Wan post Revenge of the Sith, both similarly kind of isolated themselves because they both feel guilty in a way for Anakin turning out the way they did, because they were two of the people that were closest to him.
Yeah,
they were. I mean, that's why I asked that question, like how much blame can be placed at Ahsoka's feet for leaving Anakin, him turning to Darth Vader. After watching this, I think now she can absolve herself of her blame. And I did, like, you know how I told you, I got emotional at this bit when he, because that's the last time we'll ever see Hayden Christensen as Anakin Skywalker.
Probably, yeah.
I was shocked when he disappeared and it transitioned to her being in the water, because then you check the runtime, there's a decent length of episode left. And
8 minutes, okay, yeah.
I was kind of shocked by that, and I do love that. Like this isn't like similar to the World Between Worlds from Rebels. This is more seemingly almost a bit of an afterlife kind of thing, where
she
basically fought to stay alive, so she's able to survive this previous fight and now continue on to find Sabine and Ezra and all that. And that's when she wakes up in the water.
Yeah.
And we see her getting rescued and lifted up onto a starship of some description, and then she's back on the planet and using those sort of force abilities to what do they call it when she sort of can sort of sense what's happened by holding the parts of the sphere that were the map.
Yeah. A lot of people compare the way that Ahsoka goes, it like falls off the cliff, goes into this other world, and comes back, and she was wearing that white robe here. A lot of people have been comparing her to Gandalf coming back as Gandalf the White, which I'm sure you two will probably more appreciate more than me. But I understood the reference. I was like Steve Rogers. I understood that reference.
Lord of the Rings, and then try and bring come it. Back with it. No, Scott,
I just said it wasn't
too
for
late.
Me. All I said was it wasn't for me. Some things just aren't for you, you know.
I'm just joking, Scott.
I know, but I know Reese was going to probably fucking start on. You see something, he'll pile on.
No, I'm mature now. I am.
You've shown me little evidence of that.
Just showing it you now by not shouting at you.
There we go.
No, I didn't get that watching it. So you've well done, Scott.
Yeah.
Fantastic at work there. I'm proud of you.
And that's all I ever wanted in the end.
Oh, you're so welcome, my boy.
Well, no, while Race and Scott get a room, we'll continue to review Ahsoka.
But no, it was... I just going back to the fact that there was still a lot left. There was 8 minutes left of the show when this ended, and when the Anakin thing ended, and I was like, I don't care now. Like,
I think it was more than 8 minutes.
No, it was... I think it was more like
18.
No, it wasn't that, because the credits...
It is, because I'm watching it now as we do the reviews on silence, so I don't miss anything. There's 18 minutes left.
Wow! I didn't think it was that long. Okay, I can say that, because the credits are like 10 minutes long, so 8 minutes left, so...
True. Give you that.
I was there going, like, I don't really care now. I've seen the bit that I wanted to see, which is, you know, I watched Kenobi was for Darth Vader. I was watching Ahsoka to see what happened with Anakin, and it was beautiful. And I think I was just, because I got a bit teary, a bit emotional, I think I was kind of done at that point, there going, you could have ended it there with those two, and then start the next episode, make the next episode longer by how they get to where Thrawn is and using the Pugils and everyone getting scared and of them going towards them. Was that just me?
And I get what you mean. I think this is hopefully just, like I said, I've said before in the show, I think it's one of those shows where it does feel like they're wasting too much. Like some episodes, you know, it feels like a lot's happened. It's a case of, we're getting this out of the way in this episode, so you can get right to it in the next episode. So it feels like this one was a case of, maybe the next episode will pick up when they're in hyperspace going to this other galaxy or wherever it is they're going, so that we can get right into the whole how they get Thrawn and Ezra back into our reality, so what they've been building to could kick off. Because surely, and I know we said before that we're not going to probably get a lot of Thrawn because he's been saved for other things, but surely we got to get Thrawn in the next episode.
I would imagine so.
It's confirmed, isn't it? Because Lars Mikkelsen, obviously, is the voice of Thrawn. He's been cast in it, because that I was like, well, when's Anakin going to come in? Because it was announced that Anakin, that Hayden Christensen was in it. Oh, when's Anakin going to come in? Anakin came in episode 5. It's either leading to another season with Thrawn, because Thrawn can't be defeated in 15 minutes. Do I trust Disney with their villains, with Marvel?
They're saving Thrawn's eventual defeat, I think, for that film that they're saying, that big crossover film they're going to do in a couple of years. Like, we've still got quite a few years to wait till that film comes out, but I think Filoni's directing it. Thrawn's going to be the big bad of it.
They've got big plans for Thrawn, so I wouldn't worry.
There's going to be at least one more season of Mando. They could do one more season, I think, of Mando. They've already confirmed they're doing a season 4. They'll probably do another series of this, because I think it has already been so far a big hit for Disney Plus and for Star Wars. I don't know what they'll do with Boba Fett, but I think that show that they're going to premiere next year, that Skeleton Crew show, is meant to be within this time period, which might tie into it because Jude Law's in it or whatever. So maybe there's at least one season of that. So I think Thrawn will pop up. He won't be contained to just stuff in Ahsoka. I think he will pop up in Mando eventually.
It's annoying that they've already made the sequels, because it'd be nice to see, oh shit, Thrawn's back. What's Thrawn going to do? We know that Thrawn's not in 7, 8, 9, so we know that Thrawn is going to die.
But then again, like, we need to think of something. Thrawn does set up bloody General Husk and Kylo Ren and bloody Supreme Leader Stoke or whatever fucking Palpatine was up to. So even when the good guys win in that movie, it will be for naught in some way. You know, it's almost as if Disney completely rushed into making those three films. They didn't wait it out. Maybe should have done the TV show stuff first.
No, they didn't, Scott, did they?
I'm just saying, I mean, because bloody, then it leaves bloody people like Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau to go, okay, how retroactively can we make some of this shit seem like it makes sense?
Yeah, no, that's it. It was just, okay, so the first order came from where did Kylo Ren come from? Well, we got that. But it was like, yeah, it was very much like, oh, okay, this shit happened. When? And I like the fact that now this happened, but as I agree with you, this could have happened before the making of the films, because I don't want to see a Rey film.
or even, they could have found a way to tie some of these characters like Ahsoka or people like that into the sequel trilogy. And the idea of a new empire coming, like, don't go right into there's a new empire again, or the First Order, whatever. Have Thrawn building up to in the first movie, then slightly take over, do something big in the second one, and then we still have Ahsoka fighting alongside some of the original cast and some new characters, you know, because we've already seen looking Ahsoka interact and pick up Boba Fett.
This is true, yeah. But they paid what? Hundreds of millions of pounds for the rights for Star Wars.
No.
They wanted to start getting their money back.
Carl, they paid $4.2 billion.
Yes, hundreds of millions.
I'm sure George Lucas is really upset what they did. He's crying into that big mountain of money that he's sinking into, like Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, and they're making the new Indiana Jones film. Yeah,
well they've like made it, haven't they?
Oh, well, that did very well then, if I didn't know it came out.
Died of Destiny, you've not heard of it.
Something Glasgow.
I don't think it was very good, but it's out there.
Is it good or is it shit?
I don't know. Not
I haven't seen it. I've heard
middling reports at best.
They should have left it at number 3.
I mean, if you've heard middling reports, then clearly it's not as bad as King of the Crystal Skull, so that's at least one positive in its favour.
It's supposed to be slightly better than that. I mean, there's no Shia LaBeouf, for thank God.
Gonorrhea is better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Also, I've been told.
I mean, to be fair, people talk about how great the original 3 were. Temple of Doom is a pile of shit. Temple of Doom is pish.
What? Why do we talk to you?
The best of the 3 Indiana Jones ones, the original ones, is the 3rd one.
Okay, I agree.
And you are welcome
Back to the story. We don't care about Harrison Ford. But back to this episode, though. But do you think that, I know you said, how much of Thrawn do you think we're going to see in the next episode?
I think we'll see him towards the end of the episode, if he is in this one, and then we'll get him in the final 2. That's my prediction. Yeah. I do think perhaps to make up for them not being here, we might see a bit more of the bad guys in the next episode. Perhaps what they were doing while our heroes were, you know, in the world between worlds and looking for Ahsoka and whatnot.
Yeah,
might be completely wrong. That's just my hypothesis.
Well, this is mine. They run out of fuel. They're just drifting along. They're getting angry with each other. Can't find anything. And we're about to get a sitcom of the big, massive starship.
They find Lester and Rimmer by mistake.
they go to Star Trek Galaxy. Live longer, prosper. May the force be with you. What the fuck did you just say?
But I agree with Carl. I think most of what we see of Thrawn will be in 7 and 8. I mean, we'll get some of them in episode 6. But honestly, there's got to be a big cook involving Thrawn to lead us into the next Ahsoka, because they cannot do a second series of this. Plus, they got Rick Famuyiwa directing the last one, and he's directed like the last couple of like big like finales for Mando, or at least directed the last couple of episodes of the recent series of Mando, and he's like one of the big producers alongside Favreau and Filoni in this. So clearly, they've got something big planned for the finale, something to hopefully hook you to the next one.
Yeah, I can see it ending on a bit of a cliffhanger, perhaps.
And I do think I'd hope they would probably do it. I think they were probably going to do it anyway, and you know, I know he's not going to come back because he's sadly not long for this, but I think after the stuff with the War Between Worlds, Ahsoka will fight Baelin again. I think she will end up killing him in the next duel. And then maybe Sin will try and get revenge later down the line.
See, I don't think, if that is the case, I don't think they should show it out of respect.
Mm.
If he does get killed.
Yeah.
Just maybe quietly write him off, say, like, I mean, if obviously if they do fight and she does overpower him but doesn't kill him, then do it a tasteful way of it in the next season and go, oh, Balon died, you know, doing something.
Died on the way back to his home planet.
Yeah, well, yeah. Just something.
We'll see, because, like, I mean, Lance Henriksen, that's not the right name, that one who's on John Wick, what's his name? The
Yes, I know you're on, mate. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he died in real life, and he still got killed off in the first, like, 5 minutes of the film, quite savagely, so...
I think people understand that, like, if it was filmed, you know, before he's dead, they could have known at the time and basically tell people that this is being presented as it was filmed pre his death. This was,
I'm not too sure he will get killed off, so which would make it even more of a shame that he can't come back if that's the case. I have a feeling that Shin's a bit darker than he is, because, you know, from the episode before, when she was more than prepared to choke Sabine to within an inch of her life, and he had to stop her, and she didn't quite listen. She didn't quite listen at first either.
I think if you get rid of if you end on a cliffhanger, I thought it's a cliffhanger. Shin kills Balon, and out comes a dark side Ezra.
I mean, you only think Ezra's somewhat fucked up in the head after all that time and whatever he's been. Yeah. So.
We don't know.
We don't know how, like, Jason Todd was tortured and then turned into the Arkham Knight and was killing people.
I wouldn't focus too much on your theory of and get your hopes up too much about Darkseid Ezra, because we all thought fucking Ezra was Marok. At least some people did, so, and that turned out to be nothing.
Everyone thought Marok was fucking Starkiller.
It's never going to be Starkiller. I mean, this is the trouble. I mean, with fans of these programs, there was no indication from anyone who's made of in part of the series that Marok was anything special, but people just decided to build it up in their own minds that he was going to be, and then when he gets killed off, everyone gets angry.
It was just like WandaVision. Like, everyone, there were so many people convinced week after we had heard so many people saying that towards the end, either Doctor Strange was going to show up or Mephisto was going to debut in the MCU, and it never happened. You know, it's a classic Simpsons, like, you know, Krusty is coming.
No, it's just classic sweaty virgin territory, that is.
But back to Ahsoka, and we get the space whales. I forget what their actual proper. I mean, they look fucking fantastic. I mean, this is where your CGI and whatever could have gone horrendously wrong, but no, they look great, even the big massive one.
Yeah, I do love the back and forth between Hugh Yegg and so we'll get back to their usual banner. Like, are you sure this will take us to where Sabine is? No idea. And if they had any other show, if they had a few more episodes, they would have had at least one episode where they go to the wrong place and have to get back to where they're meant to go.
It was all quantum leap.
Basically, the Pugils are... what Ahsoka's done, just tied to Lord of the Rings, because, you know, she's Gandalf the White now. The Pugils are what the Hobbit should have used the Eagles for. Just take them to the destination.
Now that we've used a comparison, if at no point in the next few episodes we get Ahsoka yelling, "You shall not pass," to anybody, I'm going to cancel my Disney Plus subscription right then and there.
You've planted that in my head though, Scott. That doesn't happen. I'm going to blame you.
I'm going to plant that seed and just stand back and see what unfolds.
I mean, I just love the fact that Yang is sort of an emotionless robot with one expression. Yeah, when he sort of slowly turns back to face the camera after she tells him we could end up anywhere, you can sort of, you almost see the shock on his face.
You can see Tennant wanting to swear.
Yeah. Seemingly, I don't remember being that big of a character when his appearances in Clone Wars or whatever, but it seemed to be throughout the series trying to turn him into basically a successor to C-3PO and tends to be back and forth with everybody and how by the book he seems to be. And I do love the also the bit when they send that fleet basically threatening to arrest and basically try like strip Hera's like title away from her because she went against government orders. Like, because he even said like, "Oh, I'm surprised the New Republic approved changed their mind and approved your mission." Oh no, they didn't. I went anyway. Ah, so this is unauthorized. But like, yeah, Carson T was trying to explain what the plan is. He's trying to be like, "You won't believe me if I tell you."
Yeah, and the fact that they just see them coming at them, then they just go, "Okay, then."
Yeah, I was like, "I would get out of the way if I were you."
I think Hera. I, you know that bloke that Hera shouts at, who took no part in the war, and she made him feel very small. I think he's going to call for her to be suspended or put into jail or shit like that.
Yeah. Quite possibly.
I can't wait for the next one now. This is what I liked about Disney. Is yes, they give us weekly shows, but at the same time, just I want it all. I want it now.
Yeah. I think it's both the best thing and worst thing. One of the best and one of the worst things about Disney Plus and everything. It's brought us back to that kind of thing of, you know, having to watch things weekly. Yeah, in hindsight, afterwards, you can rewatch them and binge them the second and third or so time around. But it's the closest thing we're getting to having to watch something when it's on then and there because, you know, it's the day something is uploaded, people want to watch it as early as possible. And we kind of lost that with a lot of streaming services because it would be so easy for them to upload it all at once, but they've chosen not to.
There's what they call in America water cooler television, where, you know, when you're having your break and you're talking about what happened on the show last night.
Yeah. It feels very much like when he's watched Game of Thrones weekly. I get excited. This point feels like that same excitement.
Because you know everybody's at the same point of the show when it's done like this. When you're able to binge them on Netflix, you don't know how far ahead or far behind someone could be. So you have to be careful what you talk about.
And also you can't use, well, I've read the books and I know what happened.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, if Ahsoka was on Netflix, it would have been cancelled by now, the way they're going.
You would have. You would have. Right, so yeah, that was I love this episode. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite episode. It's my new favorite episode. Last week's was my favorite, and now this week's is my new favorite. I'm fickle like that.
I mean, that's the same of a good show. Like, this is my favorite. Next one, no, I can't decide. Maybe the next one's going to be my favorite. Like, showing that increasing quality as the show goes on.
Exactly.
It's my second favorite thing Disney have done, though, in terms of TV. Number one will always be that Obi-Wan Vader episode. But this is number two. And it's just because of the love I have for Anakin Skywalker, the character Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader. It was perfect.
Number one will always be Andor, but you know.
Oh, you're such a nonce.
I mean, one of my favourite things Disney done with Star Wars will always be the end of Rogue One when Vader's just going mad in the spaceship.
And the fact that wasn't even meant to happen either.
No, they just actually think because people wanted more Vader when they did the early screenings.
Because like the most animated we'd really seen Vader with the lightsaber in terms of live action, because like, they did him in animation. They could do whatever they want with him in terms of his movement, whereas the original trilogy, for the most part, he had to be very stationary for a lot of these fights, but this is the best we could see him basically going, well, hell for leather, if anything.
Is there, and I just obviously before we finish it, is there a more beloved character that has been in TV and films less than him? Because I think he's he was in it 20 minutes, something ridiculous like that with the first three films, and yet everybody loves Darth Vader.
Oh no, yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Yeah, well, I think the first film, was something like only 20 minutes of screen, 20 or 15 minutes of screen time altogether or something.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal Lecter. I mean, Anthony Hopkins said about, I think it's 12 minutes of screen time. Yeah, that's the most memorable thing of the film, and he wins an Oscar for it.
I think actually, both Ben Kenobi and Darth Vader are both at most around about the 20-minute mark in terms of minutes on screen, and yet I think those two are two of the most notable parts of that original movie. Like, you know, they have the very first lightsaber duel ever on screen.
Hmm.
Yeah.
As stilted as it is.
Bless them. They were old and George Lucas directed it. So I wish we do our ranking of the show.
Yeah,
you go first.
Me. 10. 10. It's not even a debate. This is a 10 out of 10.
It's 12 in the Tokyo Dome for me.
Oh, I forgot about the Tokyo Dome. It's 15 then. Corican Hall, though. Or 20.
All the stars of the universe is infinite, and the other infinite universe is beyond it. That's a reference to the fact that there was once a tag match so bad that it was rated minus all the stars, and the universe is infinite.
I need a poo.
That's great. I'm going to give it a 10. I think it's a resounding 10 all over the board. Even the ending, yeah. Even though it gets a bit slow, it's important to finally take us to a third dimension and to throw on Ezra part of it that we've been waiting for.
I know, I got just as much feels seeing the whales and Ahsoka sort of communicating with it as I did with the whole Snips and Anakin stuff.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't take Hera in that with them, but I can see why they probably didn't. You know, this is kind of Ahsoka's story after all.
Yeah, you don't want everyone to get lost if she doesn't exactly know if they'll get where they go or not.
And plus, it'd be more bad parenting. Like, first they left you with a joy when there could be God knows what around now, and taking you to this old other dimension where God knows where we're going.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Right. Anyone got any plugs?
You can follow me on Twitter at rsaunders1995. And that's it. Carl?
Yeah, you can find me at Carlos_Player80 on X and Instagram and all that jazz. And you can listen to us on our football pods. Yeah. Everything else we do.
You can follow me on Twitter at ScottMcLean1986. Follow Scott and Paul's Rambling Podcast, which is also available here at SP Rambling on Twitter. Also, yes. Putting it easy, right, Bank? That's coming back at some point. Content, all the content.
Yeah.
Well, it's a goodbye from me.
Just like holding your poo, Podding ATV.
You're arseholes. Bye.
Bye.